Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Come on. Am I happy? Okay, my name's Jeff. Hopefully you guys know me. If you don't know me, I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft focusing on Windows infrastructure. And I've also played a really teeny little part in TechEd this year. I'm the content owner for everything that you're seeing at the event. So, how's the content been? And I'll have the duck. No. How's the content been? Good? Good stuff. We work very hard to get all the marketing stuff out of the content. First of all, the first thing I do is I take all 200-level content and chuck that out the window. And make sure I get 300 and 400-level content because we know that that's what you guys want. All right? I also picked all the hands-on labs and the ILLs for you guys as well. So hopefully you're liking those. So I had a few things to do on the side, and then I get to do this. I get to speak. I want to talk to you today. Welcome to Windows Server WSV 325. Now, has anybody thanked you for coming to their session? Thank you for coming to my session. I know that you have a big choice of sessions that you can go to, so I appreciate you taking the time to come and sit in here and hear about file services. Okay, so today is about the new Server 2012 and file and server storage services. Have you guys been going to Server 2012 sessions? I know you probably went to Rick's and Pete's and other people's sessions. How have you been finding the content so far? You pumped about Server 2012? Good. Glad to hear it. This is a good year for us. Good year for us. Lots of cool stuff happening. I'm going to talk about the file server and storage services management. I'm going to do my best to try not to repeat what you've already seen. So I'm going to show you some cool stuff that we've done in the file server and storage management. Today it's about going on a journey of storage and file services. So we're going to learn how you manage file and server storage services with the new server manager. Second one is to understand the benefits of multi-machine management, because we do multi-machine, as you've seen a fair bit of. And lastly, for all of my PowerShell buddies out in the audience, I know there's some of you here, we're going to go through and do an end-to-end creation and deletion of a storage space through Windows PowerShell, okay, so that you guys can see how we can automate this, because automation is the big piece we've got here, okay, so being able to automate this entire thing. So I'm going to take you through how we actually do that in PowerShell, and so we can see that. So that's all you're going to have to do. You have to worry about is three things. Keep in mind those three things. So you guys got servers out there that you're managing? File servers? Storage services? All that stuff. What are you managing it with today? Look at all the tools that we have to manage file and storage services. There's a lot of tools out there that you guys got to worry about, right? Different UIs to manage this. You've got share and storage management. You've got file server resource manager. Blah, 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 blah. DFS management, iSCSI software target, all these different tools. Is it a pain in the neck to work in a whole bunch of different tools? Wouldn't you rather have one? And you even get third-party ones from your storage vendors. They have their own tools. Windows Explorer, command line scripts, disk management, shared folders. All this stuff to manage these two things. I think we got a little out of control. I don't think the product teams were talking to each other when they were making the UIs. They are talking to each other now. So we've got all these tools. You guys know about all these tools. These are the ones you're actually managing. So we took a step back, took some feedback from you about the challenges that you're seeing with a lot of the tools that you have to manage this with. And there was some clear feedback that came back to us in regards to the tools that you're using. First of all, there's too many discrete UIs. There's too many UIs that you have to deal with. It's very single server focused, particularly when you're managing file servers and storage. And there's a whole bunch of different types of command line interfaces that you have to do. Now, you as an administrator, how many of you as administrators have to do task-based operations, would you think? Show of hands. A few people. You don't do task-based operations? You must do. All right. You guys need to do task-based operations. You also do need to diagnose. How many of you have ever had a user come to you and say, I can't save my file onto the file share? You've had that happen? So you've got to diagnose and troubleshoot and investigate what's going on when a user comes to you and says, okay, I can't do something in the environment. You also need to be able to automate this and script it. These are some of the things that you need to do as a systems administrator. I interwove some cool photos into this as well. I was kind of bored with the tech ed background, so I just put photos in there just to keep you guys awake. All right, so this is a picture of a server room, which is where we all mostly work, right? So I'm going to talk about some of the key concepts that we have with file and storage services management. So our goal that we had with this for file and storage services is to rationalize the tools that you're using to manage this environment. Okay, so we have an integrated management experience, be able to integrate everything that you're doing with this into one tool. We want to rationalize all these different tools that you have to worry about and manage the end-to-end scenario. And I'll show you that a little bit later in the demos when we go through and have a look at this. Integrate the experience where possible where MM tools remain. You'll see some changes in Cluster Administrator that is very tightly integrated into Server Manager. Some of the stuff did not come into Server Manager. I think if you were at Pete's session on the Server Manager UI yesterday or last night, you would have known that there's some of the tools didn't come in, so we do have separate UIs for that. What we're trying to do is to unify this, give you a unified experience to help manage the many servers that you've got. So that's the first thing. The other thing is around robust automation. Unify the management of storage through one through APIs and one through the UI itself. After all, with storage management, what are we managing? Disks. Disks and disks and disks and disks. And PowerShell for all admin tasks. We need to make sure that everything we can do within the UI, we can also do with PowerShell. I'm going to show you the comparison when we're creating a storage space, how that compares, and we do that through PowerShell. We need to be able to centralize that administration. And the goal, really, around multi-server management is giving you a single pane of glass for standalone and also for clustered servers. And what we do with that, and when we build the canvas for the server manager, is that we give you those features get bubbled up into Server Manager as you add those servers to manage. Okay, and I'm going to show you what that looks like. Also enabling remote management through that UI. So here's all the tools. How many of you probably have used all these tools? Everybody should raise their hand. If you haven't got your hand up, raise it. So what are we seeing here? Good old command prompt, file server resource manager, iSCSI software target, computer disk management within computer management, standard Windows Explorer, cluster manager. This gets all magically moved into Server Manager. Ah, isn't that wonderful? I wasn't looking for a clap, but hey, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine by me. So Windows Server Manager is a task-based UI. So here you can see at this particular screen, this is a screenshot of real servers that I have back in Sydney. I have a bunch of servers that I use for a number of different demos. And the idea that I use with these servers, and I'm going to show you the storage pool on industry standard hardware and low-end hardware as well. And I'm going to show you data deduplication later on lower-end hardware as well. So you can see how this runs on existing servers. You can see a number of servers that I've got here that I'm managing in my environment. And I'm where I am right now is I'm on the can't see that from here. I'm getting blind. I'm on storage pools. And you can see the storage pools I've already created across the number of servers that I've got. The Jeffa Store server is a very small HP microserver. Okay, just a little server that you would use for a home server or something like that. And it's just got a whole bunch of disks attached to it. All kinds of disks and stuff that I could find. I use that for storage, just for general file sharing. But with storage pools, it makes it so much easier. Then I have a bunch of other servers. We have proper servers that are clustered in a cluster with shared storage as well. Now, the way that we actually do this through the dashboard around storage, the way we manage storage, is we go down into file and storage services, and then we're able to manage and see what's going on with storage. Okay, and we start at the volume level, being able to actually see what servers we're actually managing, looking at the percentage used of all this. What the idea of Server Manager is to be glanceable, okay, so that you as an administrator can view this information, glance at it, and see if there's any issues going on. And here I can see across all my servers the space that I've got free, everything that's going on from a storage perspective. And you can even see here that we'll, as we start to add features to this, these will start to bubble up in the UI itself. It'll bring it into the canvas so that you can then manage that through the canvas. Data deduplication is just something you add as part of the file and server storage role. Okay, that's not there by default, but it gets add, you can add it, and then you have the capability to enable data deduplication on this. Okay, so we just, and it's a wizard-based interface as you go through this. Now, our goals with this was to address those issues that we heard from you guys. Okay, when we look at task-based operations, we're making sure that we're addressing the task-based operations and cutting across all these three areas. So it's easy to find the areas that you want to interface in the concept in the context of what you want to do. It's easy to find those areas, and we guide you through tasks, so hopefully you can't make mistakes. Has anybody ever had an administrator that did something by mistake or something they weren't supposed to do? Hopefully the wizard-guided tasks will answer a lot of the questions that you don't need to, that you don't, you know, not sure of. And you'll see when I'm creating storage pools, a lot of the orchestration that goes on, and in file servers, we have different profiles for creating file shares. So now we have this notion of what we call a profile for creating a file share, whether it's an SMB share or an NFS share. Okay, so here you can see we have the wizards that guide you through. Okay, and it's multi-server management, unified UI in PowerShell, and unified management of storage. Now, the other thing is from a diagnose and investigation point of view, we have this powerful way of being able to filter. So if I need to find a particular server that I'm trying to diagnose an issue, I can search for that server and get the details of that. But we have these pivots that we have within storage. Okay, so if you're within shares, you can pivot off and see information about quotas. You can see information about volumes. Okay, and there's almost like a hyperlink within Server Manager that takes you off to these pivot areas, because you're going to need to worry when you're working with, say, shares. It's obvious that you need to look at volumes and you need to look at quotas. Okay, so it's intelligent in the way that it actually moves you around the UI that way. Then everything, of course, remember I talked about PowerShell? Everybody loves PowerShell, right? Yeah, so PowerShell and WMI, storage, cluster, and file server. And in the integrated scripting environment for PowerShell, you can go in and you can filter on just the storage commands. And with IntelliSense, you can see what's going on with those. You can go in, and it's very easy to write scripts. I'm not a developer. Just ask some of my colleagues in my team. I'm not a developer, but very easy to write scripts in regards to this storage, because IntelliSense fills in a lot of the blanks that you need to actually worry about. I forgot to say something right at the beginning. There's a few of you sitting down the front, right? Anybody in the previous session with Rick before, Mr. Canadian, my buddy that I got down here from Thing? He gave me his last bottle of maple syrup to give away. But there's a condition. You have to be down here on the floor. Giddy up. Giddy up. So I'll give away that along with the t-shirts later on, so we'll make sure we do that. So let's look at, step back a little bit, and let's just understand some of the concepts that we've got around storage. Now, when we talk about storage, this particular bottom part here is at the base layer. Okay, before we even presented a disk to Windows, to the point where we can actually do something with it and present it as a file share. Okay, so if you look at this, we've got right down the bottom, we've got our raw physical disks. Okay, these can be virtual disks, they can be physical hardware, SAS disks, JBODs, like just a bunch of disks, any type of disk. That's the raw layer at that bottom. And then if you're using storage spaces, you're going to create what we call a storage pool. And then inside the storage pool, you're going to create a virtual disk. Okay, at this point, that is not presented to Windows as a volume. We're not at that layer yet. Okay, then some of you may have already have hardware in your environment that uses SMP or the new SMIS protocol to present LUNs. Okay, so if you're using SANs or using other types of that adhere to the SMIS protocol, that'll be presented as a LUN, a logical unit number. Okay, so that is not presented to Windows yet at this point in time. What we then have is on the next layer, when we go up into the layer where we're presenting it to Windows, then we present this as volumes. Okay, this gets presented to Windows as volumes, Windows disks, or through into the cluster UI. This then creates a file system. Okay, and you probably went to the session last night on REFS. This works with NTFS or REFS. So it presents that file system because then we can do something with it. We need to be able to do something with it at that point in time. Then the UI then allows us to go and create that volume. This is where we present it to the file server because the file server needs to deliver up files to the user, okay, to allow them to actually do that. So then we can go and create our SMB and NFS file shares. Go and create, we can use file server resource manager, DFS. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's covered it within any of their sessions. Maybe they have. But now we have the iSCSI software target built into Windows Server 2012 now as well. So that's cool, right? iSCSI software target built in. And then the new feature, which I'm going to talk in a little bit of depth later on, is deduplication. Very, very cool as far as what we're doing in Windows there. Right. So when we look at this from a unified storage management, here's how we actually do it. Basically, when we think about storage from a unified view of storage, is that storage is managed through a standard storage management API, okay, so which is interfaces with PowerShell and WMI. Now, you may have an SMP compliant array over on, it's this side for me. It's that side over there. An SMIS compliant array. And then storage spaces is really targeted at SAS or JBODs. Okay, so just a bunch of disks, any disk that you've got hanging around that you would use with storage spaces. And we interface through these through this now with physical disks, storage pools, and virtual disks and volumes. So there's a few concepts to get your head around in regards to that. Okay, so file and server manager will manage all those things down through that UI and be able to bubble that up into server manager so that you can actually see this. Okay. Now, looking at task-based operations, I am going to take you through a bit of a demo on how we actually go through this. But I wanted to take you through some of the UI elements that we did from a storage perspective to change this. The wizards guide you through a number of different things to make it really easy to create shares and do all the things you need to do with storage. It's context-based as to where you are within the UI. So if you go into servers, if you go into file and storage, the area within Server Manager, go down to Shares, then there's a task wizard that allows you to go through and create a new share. It'll then ask you, okay, well, where do you want to create this share? Or what cluster do you want to create this share on? Okay. Then it'll ask you where that's going to be, and it'll take you through and guide you through creating that share. And I'll show you some of the options that we have for that. iSCSI is also managed through here. So the iSCSI software target is managed within Server Manager now. There's no separate UI for that at all. So that makes it a bit easier for you to manage that. Volumes gives you the volume pool, and pools gives you the view of virtual disks and all your pools. What also, when you're viewing by pools, what you'll also see is you'll see any disks that you have available in the primordial pool to create a storage pool. Anybody know why primordial was the name that we used? Anybody got any ideas? Think prehistoric. Oldest term. Look up primordial on Wikipedia. It's the oldest before Earth began. So very old. So now what about the user that we talked about before that says, I can't save my file to the file share. What's going on? So this allows us to go through and very easily filter, search and find the server one that we're looking at, the share that we want to find, and then see what's going on with that particular problem. So in this case, when we look at this screen here, what we're seeing is those pivots that I was talking about. Okay, so you've got some properties of a share. In this case, I've got a share called quota. And I've given this guy who's in accounting a very, very small quota of 100 megabytes. Mainly for the demo, so I don't have to copy so many files so that I can do that. And then what we can see there is we can see whether right away, by glancing at the UI, quickly what's going on with this user, whether he's over his quota, whether he's got, there's something wrong with the share's not there. We'll see it really quickly within the UI. We can go into the properties of that server and go and see, like, for example, look at the deduplication settings or go and look at the quota for this particular this share. Now we can go and manage all this stuff within the UI. We can manage NFS, deduplication. And you can see here I've gone in and right-clicked on the properties of this, and I'm looking at the deduplication savings on this particular share. All this is managed within this. I'm going to show you this in a second so you can see it. So what is the average attention span of the average adult? 30 minutes, you reckon? That's 30. That's a long time. It's about 15 to 20 minutes, which is why I switch over and go to demo so you guys don't fall asleep. All right. So I'm going to go through and show you a little bit of end-to-end management with Server Manager. And my IT department always locks my machine. It's not a good thing to do. And I'm hoping I typed the password right the first time. Nice and short, huh? There you go. Okay. So just to give you a bit of context of what we got here, on my laptop here, I'm running Server 2012 on my laptop, and I'm running Server Manager on that, but I'm managing a number of servers remotely. Normally, I would run the RSAT tools on Windows 7, but with some other demos, I want to actually show you some stuff in regards to data deduplication. So what I'm going to show you here is that I've got a number of servers that I'm here to manage, and I manage this through the Server Manager UI. And you can see a number of the servers that's my local server, that's the details of that, but I've got a number of servers here. But there's another cluster that I actually want to manage. And it's very easy for us to go and add a server by simply writing and right-clicking on there and choosing Add Servers. And I think you saw in the keynote how we can add servers from DNS or from the cloud or wherever you want to actually grab them. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to search for the servers I want to manage. And I'm not going to type the entire name. I'm just going to do a search for the first three letters of the names of the servers. And what I'm going to do is add one of those servers, which is a server I know that I want to manage in this environment. And what it'll actually do, as you'll see, is it's adding that server, but it's detecting that that server is part of a two-node a cluster, and it's going to go and add all the servers that are part of that particular cluster. And what you'll see here is as we start to add this in, you're going to start to see that the UI, the Server Manager UI, starts to light up with the features that are installed on those servers. Okay, so you see I didn't have remote desktop services, I didn't have IIS. You see that it's starting to add the cluster. Okay, so the cluster is being added through to this as well. I didn't add the cluster, I just added one node in the cluster. It bubbles that up so that I can manage all those servers from the one UI. When we look at the tests that we've done so far in regards to the number of servers that you can manage within Server Manager, it's around about, I think as Rick calls it, a hundred and change or something, around about that. That's the test that we've actually done in regards to the number of servers you can manage from a single Server Manager UI. Okay, so now what you're seeing here is that it's given me some details about a glanceable view about my servers as to whether they need to be restarted, whether there's any performance counters or anything. And you can see that the cluster's being added, everything's being added into this server. So what I'm going to do down now is to take you down into file and storage. And I'm at the top level of this, and I wanted to take you through how it changes as you move through the UI, through volumes, through disks, and through storage pools. So if we go down at the volume level, this is where you're actually seeing information about all my servers and their volumes. That server's not offline. It's just taking a little time to refresh the data going over the network. So we'll just wait for that just a second. Let's go back up to my all servers view. Yeah, they should be all good to go. All right. So here you see just some basic information about all of my servers. All right, so I've got my server name, IPv4 address, the manageability, last update. I've added some additional fields for processor type and the memory that I've got on each of those servers so that I can glance at a very quick view and see that. As we move down to volumes, we get this single view of all of our, and I'll just make this a little bit smaller, the single view of our servers. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on about those deduplication settings, savings that you're actually seeing on that screen. But what you're seeing here is a very easy, glanceable view of all the servers and all the storage that they have right now. So green, as we all know, is good, right? So if we see green on this and we see green on all ours, we know we've got enough storage available. So that's a good thing. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go over to my disk to show you the different view that we get for our. This is our raw disks and the capacity that we have. Okay, so what you're actually seeing here is all the disks that are currently presented to Windows, all right? These disks are the disks that have, if there's a storage pool created, or a storage space that's been created, they have been fully, the storage space has been created and presented to Windows. Any disks that actually aren't available to Windows do not show up here. Okay? I have to go down to storage pools, and what you see here from the storage spaces is you'll see the pools that I currently have that I'm managing across all my servers. Plus, you'll see any of the disks that are currently in the primordial pool, which can be available to create a new storage space. All right? So these are the disks that are actually created. So I can see the storage on all these disks. Obviously, red is not good, so we might not need to go and add some additional storage to those. So let me just zoom in here. So you can see that some of those are red and some of them are green. And you'll see here that I've got a thinly provisioned storage space, which I'll go through in a second. And that allows us to create more, you know, essentially have more storage than we really have available. All right, so I'm going to go down and I'm going to take you through what we've done from a task point of view and how we guide ourselves through this wizard and all that orchestration happens in the background. So to show you what I've got on this machine, before we go and create that storage pool, I'm going to remote into this machine. Oh man, I got to type my password again. That's not good. I'm a good corporate citizen with a nice long password. Okay, so here is disk 4, 5, and 6 that you can see here. They're a mixture of different types of disks. Okay, so those disks are unallocated. 2 1 terabyte disks and one 600 gig, or 450 gig disk. So those disks are available for that pool. So let's go back and start creating that particular pool. So we'll go and create our new storage pool. When we go through our new storage pool, we'll click next, and we're going to call this the, what are the names that people have been giving to pools? TechEd pool or something like that? How about the hyped pool? Because what's coming up, what's going on tonight? Hyped. Be careful if you're going to do dodgeball. I heard that's going to be a bit dangerous. So we're going to choose the disk that we want. I'm just going to choose these two disks, and you get this option, and you see it tells me what type of ported, what type of disk it is. You can see these are very random set of disks. We've got a free agent USB disk, a couple of internal disks. So I'm just going to go and add those, and it's going to tell me the capacity that I have for that pool. So that's going to be a 1.36 terabyte pool. All right. I'm going to click next, and we're going to click finish. Now this is the interesting part here with the UI. What you can't see, I don't think, is there's a little button down the bottom that allows us to chain these together. So I'm going to hit create. Now, there's a whole bunch of orchestration going on in the background. Okay, so this is running all this information. It's creating the storage pool. It's going to update the cache. And then what we'll do at that point, after we've created the storage pool, there's a next step that we have to do to create this storage space. We'll update our cache, and what we do is we chain these UIs together because it's intelligent enough to know what is the next step for you to actually. It takes the guesswork out of doing this. So what you can see here down the bottom is you have this create a virtual disk when this wizard closes. So now we need to create the virtual disk. That's the next step. So we'll go and create that, and we'll close this out. We're going to create our virtual disk. This is our hyped pool, and we're going to call it the hyped vdisk. Now, this is where we can do our protection. We can either create a simple pool with two or more disks. We're able to actually create a simple mirror. The storage layer allows if we have one single disk failure, we're going to be able to create that pool that way. Then we can go and do parity. It's striped across the physical disks, but it somewhat reduces the capacity. So we're just going to create a two-way mirror, and I'm going to create a thinly provisioned space. And I'm going to create this space as 100 terabytes. And this is a thinly provisioned disk. So now what it's actually doing is if you go and look at what's going on, it's taking those two disks. And you can see now those disks are disappearing from disks that are available as unallocated. But right now, that disk is still not available to Windows yet. Because what it's done is it's created a basic disk of that size. It's still not available to Windows because we've got to create a volume on it. All right? So let me just go back and finish that. And it automatically ticks that part. So you can see here we've gathered the information, we've created the virtual disk, we've rescanned and we initialized that disk. All those steps happen. And keep in mind, all this can happen in PowerShell as well. So let's go and close that out. And we're going to go through and create our virtual disk. I hope. Okay, so here we see our disk. That's our 100 terabyte thinly provisioned disk that we've got. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit next on there, 100 terabytes. It's going to assign a drive letter to it, and then that will be available to Windows. So we'll create as drive F, and we'll call this hyped. Now, here's where we can enable data deduplication on the volume. This is the piece where we go and enable that. I'm going to talk about that in the next demo, so I'll move on from that. So we'll hit next there, and then we gather the information, we create our partition, and we format that volume. So all that orchestration is going to happen. We're going to add all of that stuff that we need to add for that. You're going to see this disk start to come on. It comes in, and first it turns into a raw disk. Then the next part is to go and format it and give it a drive letter to make it available. We're bringing it up to make it available through to Windows. Okay, so once it's available for Windows, then we can serve this up as a file share. We can put file shares on it, as, you know, SMB or NFS shares. That will then we'll have that available to do that. Should come up in a second. Let me see where the UI is up to. 100 terabytes, probably not the right size to choose for it to format, but it should be pretty quick anyway because it's really not 100 terabytes, is it? It's a thinly provisioned. All right. Now, I'm going to go over to a couple of virtual machines and talk to you a little bit about some of the new shares that we have because we've heard a lot about storage spaces over the last couple of days. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the share, the new share capability that we have. So right now I'm on a virtual machine that is, I've got guest clustering and cluster shared volume set up. And what I've actually done here is I've got a nice SCSI software target that I'm connecting to. And I'm storing databases on a scale-out file server. Okay, so in my SQL Server box, what I've got is I've got my data and my logs being stored on a scale-out file share. Okay, so this is one of the profiles that we have for creating a share. Now, you notice I'm down on the share pool here. So if I've, after I've actually presented that disk to Windows, what I can do now is to go and create the shares as I would normally do. But what I'm going to do is I'll take you through the wizard of how we actually do that. We go through and create a new share. Now, we have a number of profiles to make it easy for you to create shares within Windows now through Server Manager. The first profile is called SMB Quick, which is the basic profile to create your basic normal file share. Okay, standard suitable for general file sharing. We have some advanced options that we can go through as well. Okay, so the advanced options allows you to set folder owners, access denied settings on that particular share. So it has a number of things that you can do in regards to enabling quotas and stuff like that. So we're going to go and create an SMB share for file applications. Okay, so this is for Hyper-V to allow you to do scale out for Hyper-V. So I'm going to click next here, and you can see what there's different settings for this. Okay, so where do we want to create this? I'm going to go and create this on one of my clustered shared volumes. I'm going to call this share hyped, keeping in the theme of the party that's coming later. And you can see that by actually, when we go through this, that it enables some stuff in the context of the profile that you've chosen. Okay, so I've chosen the scale out for applications. It's grayed out the stuff that it's not allowing me to do. So what I'm here, you can see, is I've got enabling continuous availability. We can then go and encrypt that data access. Okay, so this gives us a continuous availability of that particular share so that we don't have any problems. We can go and customize our permissions if we want to. then it will go and create and run all the orchestration for that share. Done. That's created. Okay, so we now have that scale-out volume. That scale-out volume is actually running on my service, which is a new clustering feature here. We've got a service where I'm actually storing all my stuff on a scale-out file server. Okay, so this is a new role that we have. So if you go into Cluster Administrator, you can go and configure a role. And we have this scale-out file server that we can create. Okay, so when we go and create this, we have a file server for general use, a scale-out file server for application data. Okay, so in this case, like in the case that I've got set up here, what I've set up here is I've got a scale-out file server for my SQL Server 2012 database that I'm storing on that file server. Okay, and I've created that already on this machine. So I've got my scale-over file server, and I can change those settings. So, I'm going to come back to, pretty sure it was number 6. So that's a quick look through end-to-end management, and I could show you a lot more, but I want to keep going and talk to you about data deduplication, because that's a topic that is new, and we've got to spend a little bit of time on that. How much data does everybody think the world is consuming today? Anybody got any ideas? Lots? Yeah, that's true. IDC recently did a study, and they did a block storage and on-disk storage of data. They predict that in 18 months' time from now, that the world will consume 90 million terabytes of data. And by 2015, they predict that the world will consume 120 million terabytes of data. But what do your users always say to you? Just go and buy some more disks, man. They're cheap. I can get a 2 terabyte drive up at Harvey Norman for $150. What's the problem, dude? You know? That's all they say. So does data deduplication really matter? Do you guys need to do data deduplication in your environments? Do you want to save space? Do you want to extend the life of those that storage array that you've got and the storage that you currently got? Anybody want to do that? Anybody want to be a hero to your manager by showing him how much safe space you've actually saved? Yes, we have a hand up the front. I like it. Good. Let me think about it for a second. Is that okay? It's pretty good. It's very enthusiastic. I have to say, it was very enthusiastic. So let's look at what we're talking about with data deduplication. So, I'll talk about what's on the left-hand side in a second. Data deduplication is a new feature in Windows Server 2012 that does variable chunking of data on the drive. Okay, so what that does is say you have 2 VHDs, right? And this is where we get the most savings. You have two VHD files. What's common on VHD files? Operating systems, right? Why are we storing that twice? So what this chunking algorithm that we got, and by the way, this protocol came out of Microsoft Research. I love Microsoft Research. They have so many cool things that they get into the operating systems. So it chunks the data and stores it in what we call a chunk store. It stores the data once on the disk, okay, by removing duplicate data. Do your users ever make copies of files on file shares? This never happens, right? Does this ever happen to anybody? Oh, I just need to save another copy. I've only changed a little bit, but I just want to have another copy just in case, right? We get 2-to-1 with file shares. For every two to one for deduplication. 20-to-1 with virtual machine storage. 20-to-1. Also means that there's less data to back up because we're only backing up the file once through the chunk store. Okay? We were very mindful when this feature was created to make sure that we did not impact scale or performance. Because after all, the file server is a file server and it has to serve up files to the users, right? So we want to make sure that there's a low CPU impact And there's a scheduling engine, which I'll show you in a second, that you can configure compression schedule that's transparent to the primary server workload. So the server can get on with doing all its file server capabilities that it needs to do, right? So that we can schedule that off hours if need be. Okay? The other concern is obviously when we're, you know, you're probably thinking, man, if you're doing all this, what's going to happen to the data? How are we going to serve the data back up to the user? So what we do is we often will do checksums across this data to verify the integrity of the data so that when the user wants to get that file, they're going to get the file served to them that's correct. We don't want to be messing around with this data. So there's redundant metadata and critical data is looked after. Okay, so when we look at this, we have increased availability through redundancy, faster file, and we also integrated this in with branch cache. So we'll go, and I'll talk about how we do that with branch cache in a second. But this slide on the chart that you actually see was what we did internally at Microsoft, because we've been deploying this internally at Microsoft, and it's the savings that we're actually seeing on these scenarios. VHD libraries are the highest as far as savings go, so that you'll save quite a lot. Software deployment shares. We have software deployment shares internally. I'll give you some percentage numbers in a second. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in this architecture point of view. So here we have two files. And what we're looking at is the metadata of the file, okay, which is the header of the file on file one and file two. We've got some name attributes. Then we've got the data. What does anybody notice about the data store of these two files? A lot of things that are the same, right? A, B, and C is the same. So why store it twice? The first file has M and N, which is different, and X and Y, which is different. But so what we do is we do what we call an on-disk transformation of the files. Sounds a bit like the Matrix, doesn't it? So we do an on-disk transformation to store these files now as a single data chunk in the chunk store. Okay, and then when the user gets the file served up, they get the right chunks of the data for their file served to them. Okay, so you can see in the data chunks what we're actually storing here is A, B, C, M, N, and X, and Y. We're not going to duplicate A, B, and C twice because that's going to take up more space. I have on my laptop here, I have as my primary drive a 250 gig SSD. Then I have a 750 gig Seagate Momentus, which is a hybrid drive. I have 750 gig of VHDs on that and 535 gig free. That doesn't compute, does it? I'll show you in a second what that looks like. It's pretty impressive. So the target workloads that we had on our Windows, internally at Microsoft, we have Windows Server Build Labs where we have a lot of VHD files. 82% savings. We estimate around 50 to 90% savings in storage space across all these workloads. Is that cool or what? Yes? So we see 67% across our software deployment shares. I used to work in Microsoft IT, and we have data distribution servers all around the world where we replicate all of our installs so that when people install software, they install it from the local location. So we're saving bandwidth. And we're seeing on our file shares 64% and our install servers 67%. On the IntelliMirror shares, we're seeing 20 to 35%. A lot more changes going on there, so not as much of savings on those shares that we've seen. All right? How do we enable this? How do we actually do this within the UI? It's obviously done through Server Manager. Okay, so through Server Manager, we can enable it through PowerShell. I'm going to show you both so that you can see both of these. So what we do from a management and operations point of view, that's done at the volume level. Okay, so we enable and configure deduplication. Very simple. Turn it on, tick a box, and it's enabled. Right? That's an easy way to actually do it. We can manage job schedules, run demands, query status and progress. So we configure and we get status. So what it is it's a deduplication scope is on a volume. It's a self-describing atomic portable unit. I was dying to use atomic in a presentation. Meaning that it's a portable unit. Take that deduplication somewhere else. What if the, you know, take the disks out, put it somewhere else, it'll come back up again. You know what I found really interesting about storage spaces? I use storage spaces at home. I know, it's pretty scary. On a 7 terabyte volume. And it works great on Windows 8 client. One thing I found about storage spaces that was interesting is I had my servers built with the release candidate of Windows Server 2012. Anybody know what happened when the RTM came out of Windows Server 2012? Couldn't upgrade from the RC, so I had to rebuild those servers, but I forgot to change my storage space. Much to my delight, when I brought that server back up with RTM, the storage space was already there, and I just brought it back. I attached the disk to the server. No problem. They're portable units, so they can be moved around. It's cluster aware, and it supports failover. All right? It's optimized for backup and report. It scales to very large volumes. You can do deduplication on a server with as little as 4 gig of memory in a very low-end CPU. Okay? The server I'm running deduplication on in Sydney has got 8 gig of memory in it. And it was no problem at all. So the next thing we need to be able to do is it needs to be transparent to the user. So the user requests files, okay? They request files. They need to get that files. They want to serve up their, you know, that dude that wants to get his files off the file share that's trying to save those files needs to get them. He doesn't want to know about what's going on with deduplication. Because we store those files in a chunk store, and we're doing that all on a disk, we serve that up transparently to the user. We optimize them for download and branch cache as well. So if you have branch offices that have branch cache, we optimize it for that scenario as well. So they've enabled it for the SMB and HTTP protocol. We look in the branch cache server. We'll check to see if the files are actually been deduplicated, and we'll recognize that. Okay, so we wanted to make sure that that was taken care of. But you might be thinking, how do I evaluate this? So once you install the role, you add deduplication, this tool is added to the System32 directory, and it can be copied to remote machines so that you can run it on a client. All you got to do is take the DDP eval, which is in Windows System32 directory, runs on Windows 7 or later systems, and it determines your expected savings. What it does is it goes and looks at the local drives or the remote servers, and it'll evaluate your space saving percentage. So you can go and run DDP eval against that server share that you want to check out, see what my savings is like before I enable it. So it allows you to eval this and give you your percentage that you're going to see on that volume. Good way for you to actually test this out before you enable this on your volume, okay? Good question. So the question is, can you run this against previous versions of the servers and stuff like that? So data deduplication is a Server 2012 only feature. Okay, so you won't be able to see that on older servers. No. Now you see here in this screenshot some duplication savings that I'm seeing across my servers. Okay, so what I'm seeing here is various percentages of savings. I'm going to take you through and show you what this looks like. But it's at the volume level. As you go through the UI for Windows, go through the UI of Server Manager and look at that, sometimes you're going to go, well, where's the deduplication? Remember, it's at the volume level. It's at that volume level where you actually see this. So let's have a look at deduplication and see what this actually looks like. Good. Okay. Remember I was telling you about this disk that I've got on my local machine? Okay. Size of the disk. It's a 750 gig disk formatted as almost 700 gigabytes. Let's have a look at the files. You're like going, what the? Look at this. 773 gigabytes. What's the size on disk? 15 gigabytes. Cool or what? That is so cool. So, and if you look at how much space I've got available, you can see I can just keep throwing VHDs at this, because I'm storing just VHDs on this, so I can go and store it there. So the next thing I wanted to actually, first of all, I wanted to show you what it looks like in Server Manager itself and how you enable dedupe, and then we'll go in and enable it through PowerShell so that you can see what it looks like in PowerShell. It's very simple for us to actually do this. We do this at the volume level, and if we go down, you can see my images here, and look at this. That's not the right one. 79% savings on that share on a 697 gig drive. That is huge amount of savings. So we got another couple of shares down here. Here's a data partition that I have on one of my servers that has getting a 35% savings, 29% savings. So the amount of data that I'm actually saving is showed over to the right there. So you can see the huge amount of data that I'm actually saving. You'll be able to extend the life of the storage that you currently have in your environment. And it's always very good to show these numbers to the people that care about it. So you turn it on and you go, look at how much I've saved the company money. Isn't that wonderful? That's cool. So how do we enable it? So we go down to our servers, and I'm just going to go and add a role or feature. And I'll show you how we do it in PowerShell in a second. I'm going to choose our role-based. Choose the server. Remember I said multi-server management, so we'll choose the server we want to put deduplication on. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. So it's a good question. So when you're backing that up, are you actually backing? Where was the question from over here, wasn't it? Yeah, is it backing up 15 gig or 700 gig? I believe we're only backing up the files that are stored in the chunk store once. Okay, so that chunk store is backed up. Question is, when you restore it, does the size increase? And I haven't actually had to restore, so I'm not sure on that one. As far as dedupe, how long it takes to do that, I'll show you when we look at the optimization schedules, okay, so we can see what that looks like. So first of all, I want to show you what it actually looks like when we go to the volume level. I'll let that go back and done it. I've already installed this on my servers. So what I can do is I can go down here and I can configure data deduplication. Now you notice that it's just a matter of us enabling deduplication. Okay, then you see the deduplicate file's older in days. Okay, I've set that to 0 so that I can get that happening quicker. Right, what it's going to do is it's going to look at those files. The default is 5 days. Okay, the default is 5 days. You can go and change that. Then we can go and set our deduplication schedule. And this is how we can go and say, okay, we want to enable background optimization. This will pause if there's any CPU going on the server itself. It runs at a low priority when the system is busy. We can then go and enable multiple schedules. Okay, so we can go and enable multiple throughput optimization. We can run it at normal priority and consume resources for maximized performance. So if you want to speed up the redo duplication of that volume, you can go and set this optimization schedule at a certain time of day, probably not during work hours. Then you can go and set a second schedule to create a second during specified hours when you actually want to run it as well. So we support those multiple schedules for that. All right. Now let's see if this is finished. Nope. I'm going to... Sorry, the question was... Hyper-V... dedupe aware. And what? I'll come back to that one in a second. Is that okay? I believe so, yes, but I haven't actually tried it. So, what I want to do now is I want to show you what this looks like in PowerShell. I'm going to go and enable dedupe on a remote server. Okay, so I've already run the first part of this script because I had to actually go and reboot the server. Okay, so what I had to do here is because I'm running this on a remote server, I'm running the invoke command dash computer name, name of the server, script block, and I'm going to get Windows feature deduplication, and then I'm going to pipe that through to the install that Windows feature. All right? So that has already been done. And then what I want to do there is I want to enable deduplication on that particular volume. So I'm going to go and run this command. And then I'll go back and get the status in a second. So that's going and enabling dedupe on that particular volume, on the D volume. All right, what I might do is come back to that. I'll come back to that in a second. We'll let it run, and then I'll come back to it when I come up to the next PowerShell demo, because we'll see that in a second. All right. So the last thing I'm going to close with is some of the PowerShell capabilities, managing file share and storages through PowerShell. So we have a number of commands. PowerShell and WMI are the foundation for this. So if you go into the ICE PowerShell integrated scripting environment, you can go and get the commands for SMB share, NFS, storage, deduplication, iSCSI, and you can create scripts to manage this entirely through that. At the bottom of this slide, and when you go and grab the slides off Schedule Builder, is that there is a PDF that you can download that is still relevant now that gives you all the commands related to file services and storage in one easy put up on the wall type of scenario. Okay, so if you want to grab that, you can grab that as well. So let's have a look at managing file and storage services through PowerShell. I'm going to go through and show you some stuff that we need to do with, that we can do with PowerShell. See if this little guy has finished. Oh, we don't like to get red stuff. We'll skip that one and move on. Right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to enumerate the scripts for PowerShell. Okay, so if we actually look at really good way for us to filter and find the commands you want, and I'll just move this over, the screen's resolution a little low. As you can see, I can choose the modules that I want to run here, okay? So I can go and choose the modules that I want to actually look at. And I've got storage, I've got deduplication, all these. You do an import of that module, which I've already done. I do an import dash module and the name of the module you want to import through PowerShell. And then you go through and you can go and look at this stuff. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and look at the modules for storage. Okay, so I'm going to go and grab all the information around storage and sort them by noun and verb, I hope. I did press that, so it's run selection. There we go. So now what we're seeing is we've been able to support, sort this by storage and get help with all those. You can then go through and actually look at additional examples. So let me just. First up, though. First thing, what's the first? Anybody got an idea of what I need to do first before I start doing this? I need to go and delete the pool that I created before, right? So before I go and start doing this PowerShell, I need to go into my storage pools, and I need to go down to my hyped pool. And there's a couple of steps that you need to do to go through this. First of all, you need to go and detach the virtual disk. Then we go and delete that virtual disk. That'll give us all the disks for the primordial pool, because I'm going to run a PowerShell script that's going to use all of those. And then we'll go and delete the pool. All right, so that should be good. All right, so we'll go through and we'll look at some examples of getting help on what you can actually do with disks, for example. So if I want to go and look at the disks themselves, I can go and get some examples of what I can do for the disks themselves, looking at iSCSI sessions, all the examples that regard to disks. Now, for the next thing what I want to do is I want to actually look at the disks that I want to create for this pool. So I want to go and look at, I want to get the disk details for all of these disks, 4, 5, and 6, and look at, and what it's actually showing me here is only the 128 meg reserved partition, because these disks, as you saw, because I got rid of the pool, these disks are now completely unallocated, but there is 120 meg that is there as a reserve. Now what we're going to do is go and view the volume. Scrolling not working very well for me. We're going to go and get this partition and look at a volume that we've already created. Okay, so we have a data volume, which is an NTFS volume that's healthy, and it's got details of that volume. Now we're going to go list the disks that we're going to use for this partition, for this pool. Yes. And you saw what I just did there. Removed all the data off those disks. Wiped. It's just like that. Gone. See you later. So we've cleared all the disks and removed the data. Now what we're going to do is we want to determine whether those disks can actually, we can create a pool for those particular disks. Okay, so we're going to go and first of all put this into a variable. So get physical disk can pool equals for $true. Okay, so we're going to put that in. So we're going to create the pool. So move this into a variable. Can pool equals true. Then what we're going to do here is we're going to create a new storage pool, friendly name, data pool, storage sus system friendly name, and it'll IntelliSense, as you're typing this through, will actually create this for you. And then you go in and you say, okay, I want to, what am I interfacing? Storage subsystem friendly name is storage spaces, okay? Physical disks, and then passing through the variable that we just put in before. All right, so let's run this. Okay. Now, it's not available to Windows just yet. All right, so let's go down into our file and storage services at this point. Go to my storage pools. Just so that you can see that the UI is built on top of PowerShell. So we should see, and we'll refresh this. There's our data pool that we just created with PowerShell, so that's ready to rock and roll. But we have no virtual disks that are available and visible to Windows. So let's go back down and create that part. Okay, so we're going to create our virtual disk. All right, so what we're going to do is new virtual disk, friendly name, data space, storage pool friendly name, and the size. Okay, so this is 1 terabyte. We're going to go and create the virtual disk. Bang, virtual disk is actually created, and it's created it as a mirror. Go and refresh again. Should be there. Help if you select the pool, wouldn't it? Okay, there's our mirrored disk. Okay, these are the physical disks that it's using, and this is our pool, this is our mirrored disk. Still not available to Windows to serve up files. So what we're going to do now let's look at what this looks like at the raw. You can see here that it's offline. Okay, so it's offline at this point, not available to Windows. It's identified as disk number 9. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to identify the disk and initialize it. Okay. Then we're going to initialize that disk. Okay. Now what you see is the disk is online now. Still not available to Windows yet, but it's online and almost ready to go. Now what we need to do is create our partition for disk number mine, and we're going to create the maximum assigned a drive letter. Okay, so what you're going to see here is it's assigned the F drive. Next thing is to format the volume. Now here at this point, you can say format the volume, drive letter, and the file system you want to get it. You could put REFS in there if you want. I've put NTFS in this particular scenario because I'm going to enable deduplication, and deduplication doesn't work is not supported on REFS. So hit that one. Says yes to all. It'll be lost. We're cool with that. Then that should change, and the disk will be available to Windows at that point. Give that a second. There. So that disk is now available to Windows, and it's healthy and it's ready to go. Now, what about managing storage spaces through PowerShell itself? What I want to do is I want to get some details of all the pools that I've currently got created. Very easy. We can go and do a get storage pool, friendly name of the pools, and you just list the name of the pools that you want to grab that information about. What about getting the physical disks for those? We can get more information about the disks themselves. So that'll tell you all the disks that are currently being used throughout my pools. Okay? If we wanted to add capacity to a pool, we can do that. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and destroy that storage space that I just created so that we can close the loop on the end-to-end management by creating everything and then being able to actually do it all through PowerShell. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pipe this, add this to a variable, okay? And we're going to remove the physical disk. Remember, in the UI, I had to go in here and I had to remove this physical disk. So what we're doing is that stage is doing that in through PowerShell. Okay, so we're going to go and you say yes to all. Oh, I was going so well. All right. See if we can do this one. Don't think we'd be able to, but anyway, we'll give it a shot. There you go. Data space, that data space is gone. Okay, so virtual disk gone now. Now what we need to do is to remove the pool. Yes, it's easy as that. Pool gone. There you go. So that's end-to-end management through PowerShell. Gives you an idea of all the stuff that you can do within the UI. You can automate this to make this a little bit more scalable and also automating it through doing it for all your servers. All right. We've got about 5 minutes to go. That's not too bad. Some additional manageability notes is that there's some, the other things for any of the tools that you can't actually do within Server Manager itself, you can use the MMC components that can be managed through Server Manager. Things like DFS management, FSRM, but the FSRM has to be a tool you can launch from that, but quota details are visible through Server Manager and the new Share Wizard. So you shouldn't really need to use FSRM at all. That will actually be viewable within Server Manager. Cluster Administrator, we have some integrated Server Manager and storage wizards. They're making it a consistent experience through that. And there is some System Center management packs that are available for System Center 2012 for SMBF, NFS, iSCSI, DDoop, and all that stuff is available as well. And all the best practice analyzers are there for all the components. So lovely folks of TechEd, thank you for spending the time with me to talk about all this storage stuff. In summary, the three things that I was really talking to you about is to be able to do remote multi-machine management, consolidation of a lot of the tools that you are using today, manage all your file and services, and PowerShell and WMI. There's a bit more there than three, but these are the main things I wanted you to take away. Very good integration with Server Manager. So with that, we have 4 or 5 minutes left. You probably already went and saw this session already. If you haven't gone and watched it, make sure you watch it on the download up on the website. Watch the REFS session, because that talks about server REFS and storage spaces. Do all the labs if you can on Windows Server. I'll be down on the Windows Server Showcase tomorrow. I'll also be at the party tonight. I'm probably going to be in here for the Battle of the Bands, or whatever the band bash that they're calling it. And installing and configuring Windows Server 2012 is the exam that relates to Windows Server, so if you're looking up for the exam cram. Also, I'm the content owner. After the Tech Ed, over the next few weeks, over the next month, we will have what we call a Tech Ed meeting that goes through and looks at all the feedback that you provide us for this event. It really does mean a lot. We do look at it, and we change the event based on the feedback that you've given us. So please complete your session evaluations. They're in Schedule Builder, and you can win a Sculpt mouse. So make sure you do that. Okay, so I'll take questions now. But thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy the party tonight, and we'll take some questions now. Yes, sir, right down here. A little louder, please. Yes. So the question's around disfragmentation. Well, for a start, with deduplication and NTFS, we've made a lot of, I don't know if you went to any of the sessions that talked about check disk. Did you go into any of those? Serious improvements with the time it takes to do check disk in Server 2012. Okay, so if you do get that, less time to actually fix it. Okay? Yes?
Can you dedupe an external drive? Can you dedupe
an external drive? Absolutely.
But you can't put it on the non-version Windows?
Well, if you brought that up, say for example, remember I was talking about it being atomic and being in a portable unit? You can bring it to other drives that support dedupe on Server 2012. It's not supported on the Windows 8 client, though. Okay, so dedupe's not supported on the Windows 8 client, and it's dedupe is designed for data volumes. It's not for the system volume, it's for data volumes. So if you took that external drive and you went and put it in another server, and it had Server 2012, yes, you'll be able to see the dedupe files on that. No. Yes, down here in the front. So the questions around, and those guys that ask questions, please pass the shirts down to the guys down the back, and you get a shirt as well. I'm going to give you the maple syrup. I made that choice, so I'm going to give you the maple syrup, so if you can come up and get that, because you were so enthusiastic. I loved your work. All right, so can you repeat that question for me, please? You're talking about a storage pool, or?
A storage pool.
Right.
And it has information about how it's organized on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you attach it to another Windows 2012 server?
Yes, you can.
Do the same with Windows 8?
No. Well, Windows, actually, are you talking about deduplication?
No.
You're just talking about storage spaces.
Yes.
Okay. Storage spaces, I'll give you my example from my home example. I had a server that I was building Windows Server 2012 Essentials on it, which has dedupe and storage spaces, right? And I got tired of managing a server at home, so I just put Windows 8 on it. And the drives that were a storage space just came up in storage spaces on Windows 8. No problem.
Good.
Transparent. I didn't have to do anything, because I was going, oh, crap, what's going to happen to that data? And it just came up, and it was all good to go. So I had these guys over here first, sorry. So can you gracefully remove, eject a disk. Well, you mean if a disk dies or?
No, if say I've used up all my slots and I want to take a storage disk, a large one in, you know, if I've got enough space in the storage, can I remove a smaller disk and put a new one in?
that if you've set it up in an, if you set it up in a mirror, it's just going to be like any hardware-based RAID in that regard.
Okay.
Correct. Do your disk actually support hot plug? And
yeah.
This is at the storage management API. We support hot plug, so yes. Yes. Sorry, who was next?
Is dedupe supported with DFS replication?
So I believe so. I haven't tried it, to be honest with you, at this point. But DFS replication is actually just a role that gets added. And I believe, because you would normally use DFSR for sysfol replication or for other stuff? I believe so, yes. It is supported. But I'd have to double check for you. Yes, up the back there.
On your D drive, you've got 751
gig. You've only got 531 available. The drive is only... I don't know. I haven't actually looked into that.
Is it just like a mapping table so you can rewrite your files?
Yeah.
It
depends. It depends on the files that there are. In that case, it's more on with the VHDs, but it depends on what type of files are in there. Most of that in there is actually just VHDs. There's base VHDs, a whole bunch of number of base VHDs, and then there's some just standard differencing disks throughout that. So there's a lot of duplicated data. Okay. I'd have to look into that inconsistency just to find out.
Yeah.
Yep.
I believe that you created the pool from two different drives, different sizes, different characteristics.
Yeah.
And then you created the virtual disk as a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mirror? Is it for redundancy purposes?
Mm-hmm. They don't have to be the same for storage spaces. The idea of this is that storage spaces is targeted at industry standard hardware where you don't have something like a SAN type of device. Okay? So the disks, we obviously know that we would hope that you would have same disks and you don't just go blah, blah, blah. But in that case, what I was showing is that that'll work on industry standard hardware and the mirror will work fine. I could set up parity. I could set up mirroring that way. It's same as it's software-based. Mirroring. We're just pulling this up into the operating system. So if you copy more data, then same scenario you'd have today with hardware-based RAID. All right? Same scenario. Highly recommend that you do have the same disks through your, for example, I think down on the HP stand, they have a JBOD enclosure. Okay, which has got a bunch of 1 terabyte small SSD or SAS drives. Highly recommend you have the same type of disk when you're creating that. Okay? Yeah, just behind you.
Okay, so for deduplication, is there a way of pulling the logs out into, say, Operations Manager or Service Manager so you can build configuration items based on different files to give to business units and say, you're
I haven't looked at the management pack for System Center products yet because they've only just come out. So I would believe so, but I haven't seen the management pack yet. It was a tie between you two, but I'll take the guy at the back.
Couple of questions, mate.
Yeah. No, it's in standard as well. And it's in Server Essentials as well.
And,
NTFS. Yep. Nope. Yes.
Sort of an extension to that, could you lose the advantage that RFS is offering that you can't run it on it? Is it safe to have RFS and the data volume in it within a Hyper-V virtual
So you say you're talking about a VHD file that is formatted as REFS?
Yeah, to give that.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. I understand what you're saying. I haven't tried it, so and I'm not sure what the recommendation is yet at that point. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.